Now, also, if you heard last week's show, you'll remember that we talked about the awful Science, It's a Girl's Thing video, which showed women dancing around with makeup and shoes to try and encourage them to take up careers in science and technology. Well, this week, Kate Russell has kindly put together a report for us looking at what can actually be done to get more girls into science and technology rather than just patronise them, and in particular, focuses on the games industry. It's a damn good report coming up. I think that this Kate could go far. I wouldn't be surprised if we see her on telly someday. Here's Kate Russell.
Last week, I was as dumbfounded as the next person about the travesty that was the EU's Science It's a Girl Thing video, as reported by Belinda Palmer in the Pod Delusion episode 142. Dumbfounded, but not exactly surprised. A teenager of the 1980s, I've been fighting stereotypes of one kind or another since I first got hooked on a video game, Elite, and wanted to start messing around with computers. It was only about 30 or so years ago, but society was imbued with this medieval philosophy that boys got to study computers and technical drawing, whereas my subject choices were things like needlework and home economics. I left school with the ability to embroider my name on an apron and roll a mean Swiss roll, neither of which are skills I have ever used in life. But through the 90s and onwards, this attitude shifted, and games developers suddenly started realising they'd left half of their market untapped. The few of us that had managed to smash our way through the macho bullshit of the 80s and were already working in the games industry could only stare open-mouthed at the string of horribly gender-stereotypical titles involving fashion or puppies or ponies were unleashed to try and snag a bit more market share. And they probably did it too. In fact, I can imagine that those saccharine sweet titles attracted enough new gamers of a certain type to give the Games for Girls market rocket boosters. Suddenly, everybody was interested, and thankfully, some even started to make games that we might play. Luckily, today, mistakes like that EU campaign are becoming less common. But the real tragedy there is that that video, which went viral for all the wrong reasons, will no doubt be seen by many, many more pairs of eyes than will ever see a genuine campaign film. For example, take an event that's been going on in Rotherham this week. Games Britannia is part cultural festival, part art exhibition and part education conference. I was invited there to speak at the Because Girls Can Day, which far from being a gender-stereotyped day of pink, fluffy programming, was jammed full of workshops and discussions led by inspirational women and men who all make great role models for the young female techies of the future. I spoke to the man who's made it his mission to bring this festival free to schools from all over the country, Mark Hardesty.
The basic idea was being at school about a year and a half ago or maybe 18 months ago and seeing that we weren't doing anything with games at all in any of the curriculum subjects. And from my background, it was absolutely amazing that we were doing IT and all these other things where games could have gone in there and we weren't doing anything. So we sat about doing a week's worth of workshops and talks and here we are now. So everything seems to have gone wrong somewhere.
Now, today is called Because Girls Can Day. Yeah. What do you think about the shortage of girls getting into both science and technology in education and then in careers?
This is a question I have absolutely no idea about, is why we did the day. I've done loads of programming workshops at school and found that girls are absolutely brilliant at programming, but then absolutely don't do anything at all when they leave school. They turn off and do something else, come back, and when we've done follow-up lessons, I ask if they've done anything again, no. And so I don't really know the answer to that. All I know is that they're really good, really interested. I've got a daughter at six who's absolutely keen to do it, and I wonder whether that's the start when we need to rethink and start pushing girls into that career at that point.
What do you think we need to do to attract more girls? Do you think we need to change science?
I don't know. I mean, again, this is a thing. We put on a girls' can-do day today, then you get criticised that we are stereotyping and just doing things for girls, and that's wrong because we shouldn't be segmenting girls and putting them over here and doing something else. And then everybody says that's a brilliant idea. So the pinking of things, you know, you yourself were interested in Elite, and that wouldn't have been marketed to a girl. We did loads of things with Fighting Fantasy yesterday, which girls really got and really loved, and that's predominantly targeted towards boys. But some girls get it, so I just think we need to do more of what we're thinking about doing now. But I think there's definitely a change at the top that needs to come. And I think just once the generation's run, it's a long-term game. You know, this is a 10-year thing that we need to be going through now that Ian Livingstone started. You know, we're not going to change it overnight. But I think eventually, as, you know, we've got Joe Twiss here today, who's CEO of UKE, and, you know, you don't get any higher in UKE than Joe, really. So, you know, that must be a drive. And she was formerly at Channel 4. So, we, you know, women are getting there. It's just, I think we've got one or two trailblazers like yourself that need to be out there a little bit more, and I'm sure the change will come. And I can't wait to see some of the games that girls make, because my daughter has some weird ideas, but they obviously are going to work and appeal to people, you know. And I think there's still some pigeonholes. Girls like Sims, boys like Call of Duty, and that's you know, that's fine. They are going to be some stereotypes, because they're always going to be that way. But there's somewhere in the middle ground. There's a girl that wants to. They want to play Call of Duty, and there's a girl that loves Angry Birds or whatever else. So I have no answers, but let's keep trying and try everything.
One of the key themes of the day's discussions was the current skills shortage in the UK games industry and how we can start breaking down those gender barriers even further so girls don't get put off choosing science as a career. I got to put this question to Joe Twist, Chief Executive of UKE, which is the trade body representing the games industry in the UK.
I think, for a start, the government has made some positive moves in terms of computer science and getting it onto the curriculum. We've been leading the cross-industry campaign on next-gen skills to tackle that. I think more does need to be done to encourage girls. There's lots of after-school clubs, lots of initiatives like Games Britannia that are trying to introduce girls into computer science. But it's all about role models at the end of the day. We run a STEMnet video games ambassador scheme. So we try and get people from the video games industry, because all children love video games, to go into schools and to evangelise about the industry and about the skills that you need, which are not just computer science, it's maths, physics, art, and all sorts of skills. So seeing people like you and seeing role models and seeing the possibilities is really important.
One of my bugbears in terms of getting girls into gaming and computer science is that people tend to sort of try and adapt the science to attract girls by making it pretty or pink.
Yeah, no, I don't agree with that kind of approach at all. You just need to make it engaging and interesting and find the hook for young people. All young people are different, whether they be girls or boys. A lot of the problem for girls is unfortunately the stereotypes that do kick in. So when you reach about, we found through research that Next Gen Skills, Nesta Report did last year, that actually it's fine up until the age of 13, 14. It's when you reach about 15, 16, those gender stereotypes and sort of the geekiness stereotype kicks in. But it's not about making it pink. It's about just finding what interests you as a person. And teachers have to be equipped to be able to find that hook. Games are a great hook for kids to be introduced to computer science. And there's so many different types of games. So it's not just about using, a shoot-em-up game in the classroom. It might be introducing, you know, concepts of code through a physical object or through a different type of game that you know a particular set of pupils is playing. You know, so it might be a game that lots of girls are playing. So it's about just finding that hook and finding what's relevant to them and to their lives and to the stories they want to tell and the things they want to do.
We're all here, technical women, you know, shouting about the fact that there should be more women in the games industry and in science in general. Does it really matter? How big an impact is that? Why should we be worried about that imbalance?
If you look at the games industry, it's actually 6%, 7% of developers, the people who actually code games, are women within the games industry. And the games industry is worth $3.3 billion in this country, faster growing globally than the film and the music industry. It's an economic issue. If half the workforce are women, and we're not even training enough people in computer science generally to feed the games industry, then if you do the maths, that means far fewer women are not being trained in computer science. So it's an economic problem. Our industries are going to require highly skilled workers across the board, not just in the games industry. We need people to be trained in these skill sets to affect everything. We also need people who are coming from diverse backgrounds. So the different perspectives that women can bring, that people of different socioeconomic backgrounds can bring, just people with different stories. Otherwise, you get the same products being coded and the same problems being solved. We need people who have different views and come from a different perspective. That's why it's important. It's economic and it's cultural.
As important as it is, though, we come back to the point I made earlier. I bet more people knew about the EU's appalling PR bungle than this great free education festival in the heart of the UK. The girls took part in the many creative coding and game designing workshops with real enthusiasm, and I got to speak to a couple of them about their experience. Bridget is 15 and interested in animation and character design, two of the things that really caught my attention at a similar age.
Well, yeah, it is still a little bit weird when you say, oh, I'm a computer programmer, but I am a girl as well. It does turn a few heads. But no, I think in the modern age, it's like, it's the new thing. People are going to cross jobs and everything, and it's going to come up occasionally. So we are allowed to do it. Now girls can, like, choose their own career path. Now we can do whatever we want to, so.
The younger girls were equally enthused about the day. But when I caught up with 12-year-old friends Lee and Nikki, who came to my workshop earlier, they were kind of more interested in beating their latest high scores in the replay exhibition, but they humoured my questions nonetheless.
What do you think of some of the older games? Do you think they're sort of quite funny?
Yeah, I think they're all good, but you can see how they're being developed.
Lee likes the ones where you're killing them.
And are you going to study? Do you think you're going to go on and study sort of computer science and computer programming when you get into your later years and start talking about GCSEs?
If you asked me that this morning, I would have said no, but now I'll say maybe.
And was it today that helped you decide that?
Yeah.
So what was it about today?
That you just play the games and you think, oh, that would be easy, but then it's really fun making them.
What do you think needs to be done to make more girls like you be interested in taking this up?
I think, like, more exhibits like this and more talks, maybe like a TV programme about it that people could watch, like, on one of the main, like, numbers, you know, like 1, 2, 3, 4 on the TV.
Yeah, definitely. And then, because then they can see how fun it is and then they'll get interested in it.
So there it is, straight from the horse's mouth. You don't need to change anything about video gaming. You just need to make sure girls can get their hands on the hardware long enough to spark an interest. It happened to me, and I saw it happen to dozens of girls and boys at Games Britannia this week. The sad thing is, it might not happen next year, as sponsors need to see bums through doors to make it worth allocating marketing spend. If you can get along to the Magna Science Centre in Rotherham this weekend, the organisers could really use your support. Entry isn't free, but you do get to feast your inner geek on all the classic gaming consoles going back to the very beginning, thanks to the amazing team running the replay exhibition. I'm sure that James, being terribly efficient, will have linked the details in the show notes at poddelusion.com.
This has been Kate Russell saying all your bases are belong to us girls now for...
The Pod Delusion!